Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your holy name. All praise, all glory, all honor to you. Be thou exalted. This morning, your word will come to us with great power. You will give us understanding. You will illuminate our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me celebrate God. Hallelujah. All of you will agree with me that the Lord has been faithful to us in this ministry. And we announced last week the wedding. Was it last week or last week now? The wedding of our Brother Tayo and Sister Vic. Coming up 18th and 19th, I think, of April. 17th and 18th, right? 18th at Igbo. The same April, another wedding is coming up. Yeah. The month of April is a wonderful. And I'm glad to introduce to you. They've been away from Ibadan because of job and few other things. But they are a member of this church. They identify with us. Brother Coyote and Sister Dami. Please come out. Come out, the two of you. They will be getting married. Come out, come out. Hallelujah. Yeah, we are going to pray for them as usual. They will be getting, please kneel down. Let the church pray for you. They are going to be getting married on the 11th. And I'm sure some of you have seen the IV on our group. At Ikwitu, we are all going to be there by God's grace. Ikwitu, Jesus, right? Yeah, just opposite my hometown. Hallelujah. So I might just branch home and check. Hallelujah. I like you to stretch your hand and pray that they will not have disappointment of any kind. There will not be disappointment of dates. There will not be disappointment of time. There will not be any interruption from both families. That there will not be any hindrance. I can't hear you praying. I can't hear you praying. Prophesy that wealth will run towards them for the success of this wedding. The Lord will disappoint every plan of the enemy that may want to stop what God has started with them. I can hear you declaring. Da sika na shahari da dida, prikaso hamvas kapruti sinanina, lekra hazakush tarubi kusenina. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Glorify yourself. Do great and mighty things. Be thou exalted. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Father, we thank you. Father, we appreciate you. Be thou exalted. We declare over your children that you do great and wonderful things for them. That you will surprise them. That their wedding will be a great success. That you bring fruitfulness into the wedding. And there will be surprises coming their way from now. Where they least expect, help will rise for them. The Lord will establish you. The Lord will make you spread. Favor you will find from men. I pray the love of God will be planted in your hearts. And that same love will help you relate to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Give God a big hand. Congratulations. Congratulations. So I'm sure you still wait for second service here. We'll have more people around so that we can equally introduce you to the church. Hallelujah. Very interesting. We started a teaching last 2 weeks now. I listened to the message yesterday in the first service message, and I was blown myself, you know. And please, I will encourage you to get that message, especially the first service, on the principle of faith and obedience. Please get the message and listen and listen and listen. I'm sure it will help us to walk with God in the year 2020. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue from where we stopped last week. Basically, we were talking about obedience and faith. And we said these two factors are important in your Christian journey. We see how in our days, like some 10 years ago now, there have been all kind of teachings on the subject of grace. Somehow, people are using grace to push away obedience to the word of God. They are saying the grace of God is sufficient. There's no doubt about that. I have been forgiven. It is true.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is the scripture. Christ has taken my place. I have taken his place. Substitution, propitiation, remission. All those stuff are real, are true. And I want to tell you, the same way grace is real, the same way propitiation is true, remission is true, redemption is true, obedience is true. Hallelujah. And so, you know, somehow, you know, people begin to deliberately disobey the word of God and give grace as their excuse. See, somebody gets born again and he tells you, Christ has died for me. Yeah, and he deliberately goes into immorality. I mean, that's an insult on what Christ has done. Deliberately, you know it, you preach it, you study your Bible. And all the excuse for your immorality or for your disobedience is grace. How can you say grace is the reason you should disobey God? You know, as I was studying over the week, the Lord began to open my heart. And I saw in the scripture, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 9 or thereabouts. He said, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Can you say that after me? The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And so when we say, to even say you have knowledge about God, it starts with how much you fear God. So how comes you grow in knowledge and you lost the fear of God? How comes, you know, the Bible is interesting if you understand and follow it. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. That you begin to know. Now, many of us, when we first got born again, there is this reverence. I don't know what happened, the kind of gospel that have changed the way people get born again today. When I got born again 20 years ago, there is this reverence. There is this, you know, fear. You don't want to offend. You don't want the relationship to, you don't want to lose the, there's this, oh, glory to God. David said in Psalm 51, he said, take not away the joy. There's a witness in his spirit. He said, God, anything can be taken away, but the joy in my spirit that I know you should not be taken. Take not away from me the joy of my salvation. Do you know what takes away the joy of salvation? No, listen. Lord, help me. David had many wives. How many of you know that? He had plenty of wives. He inherited the wives of Saul, inclusive. This I've never seen a man in the whole of Israel, apart from Abraham. Abraham was not part of Israel. He was the father of Israel. Apart from in the whole of Israel, have never seen. Go and read the entire scripture. A man that was favored like David. To a point, God said, David is the apple of God. Declared it. God went further and told David and said, he said, your throne will be established forever. When I was studying that scripture, I began to imagine how David could believe that. What a favor. That your throne will be forever. No, God did not say that to any man. Go and check the entire Bible. No king had that promise. To a point that David became the standard that other kings of Israel and Judah were measured. And Josiah served the Lord like his father David. And his kingdom was established. Jeroboam went in not in the way of his father David. And his kingdom was destroyed. But David went ahead. He saw a naked woman beating. He knew it was wrong. He went into it. Despite that grace, despite that favor, the grace at work. Don't tell me that the kind of grace upon David is an unusual grace. He went further and disobeyed. Disobedience has a chain reaction. Hello. Are you hearing me this morning? When you disobey God, in one, you break one of His scripture. You will need another disobedience to cover that one. That's why it is not, listen, it's a dangerous thing to start disobeying God. Because the devil will keep giving you the reason you should stay in that disobedience. Number one, he tells you that the shame of coming out and confessing. And so he went further. Number one, he took the wife of one of his servants. The fear of God went out of him. This was the same man who by the reason of the fear of God will not kill Saul. He cut the hem of his garment because he had this fear for God. This same man killed another man, took the man's wife. See disobedience. He took the man's wife. He killed the man. What happened to that reverence, to that fear he had when Saul was pursuing his own enemy? What a level of God's fear. And now, what happened? An innocent man who was on the battle for him. He collected his wife, impregnated his wife, collaborated with the wife to give the man a son that doesn't belong to him. The man will refuse. He said no. He said it's against the will of God that I go sleep in my house and lay with my wife when other soldiers are in the battle. And he said they should kill the man. In fact, the man went with his own death letter in his hand. What happened? Disobedience. Now, listen. I want to tell us, beloved. Christianity is a sweet journey when you are an obedient child of God. There are too many disobedient children doing Christianity with mouth. Matthew 15, thank you. Matthew 15 and verse 8. These people, with their lips, they shout my name. My love is not in their heart. Help me, Holy Spirit. And so we begin to see that the joy of obeying God. And we say, you can't release faith on any word of God to be activated in your life until there's an obedience on that word. Obedience and faith move parallelly. They move side by side. When you are obedient to the written word of God, the supernatural becomes your daily experience. I said something last week, and I want to repeat some of the things I said. Many of us like to go for the spoken word. What is prophecy? Prophecy is a word given to a person at a particular time for a particular reason. A word unto a particular person at a particular environment that's prophecy. And so we have the written word, which is the mastermind of God. This is the mind of God. Prophecy, listen, that's why the Bible was speaking in the book of Peter. He said, for there is no prophecy of the scripture that is of private interpretation. For men were inspired by God. Meaning prophecy can be given private apart from the written one. Any other prophecy can be given private. It can be influenced. That's why when you are giving prophecy, this is the check. Because this, God teleguided the writing of this himself. God carefully guided the prophet that wrote these books. Do you know there are many prophets who spoke in Israel that their name was not mentioned? There are many happenings that God did not reckon with. So they are not here. And so some of us, because of our background, we tend to believe the spoken words. The prophets come to you and said, "You move around the Ibadan in one day because of God wants to take you around the globe. So move." You believe that against the written word. And as I was meditating, I was driving during the week. I was meditating, and I said this to myself. I believe the Holy Spirit, echoing that in my spirit, and I got it. That if you believe prophecy and vision against the written word of God, you will need prophecy and vision to believe heaven and hell is real. Until you have prophecy or you see vision,
you won't believe heaven. And that's why, you know, some of the books that sell small today are books of somebody who had vision of heaven. Or somebody who goes to hell. It's the easiest way to break internet. Just wake up and be crying and say you saw hell. Before you know it, you go viral. People believe. No, this is the written word. Now, can I talk to you? Every phase of your life, marriage, career, ministry, mention, whatever you do, parenting, being a wife, being a husband, every of these subjects in our lives have body of knowledge guided by the written word. Find out, you will see. How to take care of children, you will see. Parenting is there. Marriage is there. But when you want to do the things your own way, you will have your own kind of result. When you want to do, you know the written word. Some of us have been in, you know, we've been in church for a long time. Bible study. Some of us have been to Bible schools. Can you imagine somebody goes to Bible school? All he went to learn is Bible and he still disobeyed what? All he spent his life learning, he still disobeyed. I've done all kind of things. There's a body of knowledge that guides all that we do. If you will find out and obey. Interestingly, how many of you remember the scripture we studied? I think it was second service in Genesis 22. Genesis 22, very interesting. I love this part. Hi. Shout hallelujah. Genesis 22:18. Give me verse 18. I like you all to read verse 18. You know, I meditated on this scripture for a while. And I said to myself, I said, God, so it means if I obey you, my unborn children will benefit from my obedience to God. If I disobey God, I said it last week, so many of us are suffering some things now because our parents choose to walk in their own way, not in the God's way. Some of us are where we are now. They disobeyed God in the face of the truth. They walked away and do it their own way. And here we are, children, innocently suffering. Some of us, if not for grace, will not be where we are. Some of us would never have gone to school, if not the grace of God. By the reason of the kind of things our parents have gone into. They heard the word. Listen, it's better you don't know than to even know. And you go headlong. You prophesy it to people, you teach it, and you went against it. That's why the way God punished Israel when they disobey is different from the way he punished other nations. Because Israel was a nation mentioned and called after the name of God. God gave them himself, gave them his word. And yet, the Bible will say Israel turned against God to the other gods. And all of those punishments, let me explain to you. In the Old Testament, punishment from God was not properly elucidated, was not properly explained. Death, sickness, poverty. Mention all the dangerous things that could happen to a man. Doesn't come from God. Let me tell you how it happens. It is just the absence of God. Anywhere God lives, sickness invades. Death is just the absence. When God said, if you eat of the fruit at the middle, the tree at the middle of the garden, you will die. What he was saying is, that when I leave you, my absence is death. So when things began to happen to the Israelites, because they were limited in knowledge in the Old Testament, they attributed it to God. So when poverty invades a family, check what the head of that family has done. When sickness starts just falling on the children, everywhere scattered. So the absence that God leaves a place, something else must occupy the place. So don't say, is God punishing me? No. His absence is, anywhere there's no light, what takes over? It's automatic. What takes over? Is it the fault of light?
No.
Praise God. Now, interestingly, can we all read this? One to go. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth, because... I love this. Listen, imagine Abraham disobeyed. There will not be nation of Israel, or God will get a substitute. May God not get a substitute for you. And say, we have tried him, he won't listen. We have warned him, we sent prophet, we taught him from the Bible. Let's get another person. Let him not waste our time. The generation of his fathers, they did the same thing. Let him, heavens are watching. There's a timer on your life. There's a timer on your life. You say, let's quickly look for somebody. And you will think you are still relevant because of gifts and titles. Anami Sibiru ya anani Laila Rahala. Saul was still doing all that when God has already provided a David. He was still on the throne. And what was his challenge? Disobedience. Go and clear the Amalekite, living and unliving. He went there and did his own thing. And before he came back, God told Samuel, he said, I have rejected that man. He will not listen to me. In the first place, I didn't plan to make him king. It was the people that wanted him, and I approved of him. So I let him just... And for almost a decade later, he was still on the throne. And God already has created another king, another palace. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Lord, I pray this morning, you raise up spirit life to substitute some people. May it not happen to us that you raise others to substitute us. Amen. Help me, Holy Spirit. Give me verse 17. Let me show you something. Quickly. Verse 17. Okay? That in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven. What a benefit of obedience. Go and check the entire Bible. The benefit of obeying the word of God cannot be overemphasized. Go and check from Genesis to Revelation. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Hey! That because you obey me, no nation will conquer your children. Lord, help me. They will look at Israel. Israel today lives amongst five nations that want Israel wiped out of the map. But because one man's obedience, he said, he says, and your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Can we say some of the trouble some of us have now are enemy, are things our father disobeyed? And by the reason of their disobedience, let me tell you this. Holy Spirit, help me. I like to stay on course. They have said a lot to me, and I like to stay on it. So, obedience will affect your generations unborn. If you are not thinking of yourself, think of your children. Anytime you want to disobey God. If you think you don't have anything relevant to do again on earth, think about the children you are bringing into this earth. Think about them. Think about the people looking up to you. Think about the destinies that have been tied to your neck. There are some of you, if you disobey God, a generation, not only one, three generations will suffer it. Because your destiny is to transcend certain inheritance. The Bible says, the righteous give inheritance to his children. So you are not a success until your third generation feel your impact. You are not a success. I'm not talking about buying a house or car. That you can't imagine somebody praying. Him and his father is praying.
And he said, "Oh Lord, Baba, me Oba Dare." His father is beside him. His own biological father. He can't identify with the partnership of his father with God. Obedience is key. They will possess the gates. Now, look, give me verse 18 again. Important. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth..." Do you see this? He didn't say in thy seeds. In thy seed. One seed. Please, that seed there is Jesus, if you don't know. Go and study Galatians chapter 3. The Bible says, "And God preached the gospel unto Abraham." This was the gospel. "And he obeyed the gospel." This was the gospel he obeyed. And the Bible says, "God recorded it for him as righteousness." This obedience was counted as faith. That was why Abraham was called the father of faith. That he obeyed God. God said, "This is faith." When you obey God, God sees it as faith. That you believe him and you believe his word. Now that's why I said, faith and obedience moves together. Anytime you obey God, in the eyes of God, somebody has released faith. Abraham, take up Isaac, thy holy son. Why? God has written out Ishmael. That was how it is in the scripture. Go and study it. Take Isaac, thy only son. In the mind of God, there's no Ishmael. And say, "And sacrifice him." I can't imagine our generation, the kind of tongues that will come out of your mouth. Laga, lege, laga. Dangerous tongue against God, against the will of God. Some of us have spoken tongues against divine will. You have deceived yourself. I say, "God, no. Devil, I rebuke you. Mensekeria." I remember when God first showed me my wife. I spoke some dangerous tongues. Holy Spirit, help me. I said, "No, you will not deceive me, devil. You will not deceive me. Because I have an idol in my heart. I already have a standard." That's the reason many of us disobey God. You have your own standard. You don't want to break it for God's standard. You don't want to break it. You just want to do it your way. If you do it your way, as against the written word of God, you will have your own kind of result. What's your own kind of result? Error. You know the meaning of human being? Prone, vulnerable to error. That's human being. When somebody is human, human means he is vulnerable. Human means he is prone to mistakes. So if you want to do it the human way, you have the human kind of result. What a great thing to obey God. Might not make logical sense. Just obey him. I said it last week. I can still imagine that I'm still in Kano now, working in bank. I'll still be preaching under disobedience. I will have children under disobedience. I'll marry. Many of you alone who pay me only can draw sin and share bank in case imagine law. Speak in tongues, deceive. Listen, when you are in obedience, anybody that comes your way, Allah kubalu my dear fool. Because you are not supposed to walk in their path in the first place. If you are where God wanted you to be, you will not have come across them. I pray for you. May you not come in contact with men walking in disobedience to God. Because they will use their own to deceive you. Remember, if you remember the young prophet and the old prophet, I think in the Chronicles of Kings, God gave that young prophet a new fresh anointing. God should help some of us who are just rising. God gave him instruction. Go to this city, prophesy. Why? God has left the man who was the prophet of that town. He had disobeyed God, and God said, so God had to raise a younger, a fresh voice. And God made it happen when he was not around. And you think you are still there. Agidilaku. And in Nibati Moje, special in the 80s. Oh God, God cannot remember all that. History. May you not spend your life telling irrelevant histories. And the morality in your journal. Angeli made the low one who Kinawashi. They come to watch how far you want to go with your disobedience.
And the prophet, when the prophet came by, he said, they told him, one young prophet, Baba, they told him, this one, instantly when he spoke, what he was saying was happening. They say, he asked them, which way did he go? He said, let me go after him. That same thing that made God left him was the same thing he did to that young prophet. He said, God told you, he called him and said, let's go and eat. So that he want to corrupt him. I want to quit that be motivated. That be careful of association. Tap your neighbor, say, be careful of association. Say, association of disobedient children of God. Association can kill. He wanted to gain an association. Why? The man has lost integrity in that town. And here is a young prophet who is just coming up. So he wanted to snap selfie with him and put it on Facebook and say, Awala kwe. Ipwe walona lowo. That's why it's not an invitation. You are invited that you go. I think that is for me. And he said, God told me that you should eat. And that disobedience ended that young guy's ministry there. His ministry, that act ended his ministry. That act. If you go and check, it was that same prophet who prophesied through his mouth. Through the mouth of that same old prophet was the prophecy of the punishment of that man came. He said, because you have disobeyed God, who told you not to eat? That same man. Obedience. Now let me show you a scripture. Give me James chapter 1 and from verse 22. I will need it in TLB, the Living Bible, if you have the, but give me in the King James verse. If you have the message, I would like it in the message. TLB, the Living. He said, but believe this first. Now go from verse 20. Let's see, from verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. God, verse 21. 21, please. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, all kind of uncleanness, lay them apart. We talked about maturity. There was one time we were teaching and I taught you about maturity. I said when Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians, I think 13 from verse 11. He said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. When I was, I thought like a child. I behaved like a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away deliberate, intentionally, I avoid these things now that I'm grown up. He said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted. Now, many of us have received, many of you, now, by the reason of the kind of things you have learned, you can even start Bible school. Our generation is too aware. We know too much. This generation. You know Greek interpretation. You know Hebrew. You know Yoruba, you know Italian interpretation. All interpretation, you know it. Receive. You cannot obey what you have not received. Obedience is a function of what you have known. When you don't know something, you don't even know you are walking in disobedience. I remember many years ago, I went to Bida to preach. And I was speaking. I was saying, stop this campus life thing. You are not married, you are sleeping with somebody. After the message, one lady humbly came to me with a sober reflection and said to me, she said, do you know I had never known it was wrong? Do you know why I believe her? She was honest with me. Number one, she was honest, she was doing it. She told me, she said, I sleep with the person. He said, I sleep with him. He said, if not that you said it today. He said, what do I do? That was why I knew she was actually genuine. The first question I asked her, which church are you attending? That you don't know. Who is teaching you? Hello. This is one of the greatest blessings of your life that you can have on your entire life is to be in a church where you are taught the truth. Because you can live in disobedience all your life if you don't know. I used to say, some of the people I knew in the CNS growing up,
They are wonderful, kind, good character people. But some of them were disadvantaged, let me put it that way, because they did not hear the correcting. It is when you hear the correcting that you do the correcting. When you don't hear correctly, you will behave wrongly. The pastor of your church has three wives. He's dating like three ladies, and you are a core member of that church. It is clear how the direction of your life is clear how it will go. You don't need a prophet to tell you, it's clear. Your leader is going that direction. You are in that direction already. Lord, help me. For the wrath of God, no, listen. He said, wherefore lay apart filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. How do you receive? Talk to me, how do you receive? Some people are too proud to humble themselves to receive the word of God. That's why you see arguments. And remember those days in Bible, so I say, according to my opinion, who cares your opinion? The Bible is supposed to clear your opinion. Here somebody just say, when you speak something they don't like, they feel you have taught some area. He say, I have some reservation against the word of God. Hey, my God. It's as if he's talking in a political meeting. See, according to my opinion, I think it's nothing wrong, That's how you know when somebody starts going into disobedience. And rubbish, we start putting garbages together. Bring psychology, bring all kind of things, all the logic together. Listen to me. Let me define the meaning of disobedience. Disobedience is reasoning contrary to the truth. When you reason contrary to the truth, disobedience starts from your reasoning. Somebody is teaching the word of God. All you are thinking is how to counter it. Some people go as far as when the word of God is going on, they will go to Google and be looking for a counter. So that when they say, is there a question, they will not stand up. You are deceiving yourself. Listen, when Jesus told Paul, he said, he said, can you hit your foot against the bricks? That is what it means when somebody wants to fight the truth. He said, you can't. He said, Lord, who art thou? You can't fight the truth. The truth has always been the truth. I was sharing with my wife when I was studying. I said, Yoruba people say, Bi Yoruba lofu ogun odo. And I told my wife, I said, it means deception can last for long. Somebody can deceive two generations. That's why you see minister rise up. Some people say, if he's really a false prophet, by now he's been doing it for some. By now we should have, I believe him. Deception can last for a lifetime. And you will not know. It takes a man who cares to search for the truth to remove himself. What happened? Give me those scriptures, please. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? If you are blessed, shout hallelujah. You can't fight the truth. So disobedience is reasoning against, I call it self-deceit. Disobedience is self-deceit. You know this is right. You are deceiving yourself and say it's wrong. You know this thing is wrong. It's self-deceit. The greatest deceit is not the deceit of the devil. It's for someone to deceive himself. And say, it's nothing wrong. I will do it once. I will pray for forgiveness. You know, there's a witness in your spirit that direction you are moving is wrong. It's called self-deceit. Vain imagination. Vain. You imagine against the written word of God in your heart, and you go ahead and do it. You deliberately go to another man's wife and sleep with her. Deceiving yourself. You are not deceiving God. You are not even deceiving your wife. Most people who go into fidelity don't know they are not deceiving their spouse. It's self-deceit. Deceiving yourself. Because you know the truth. And receive with meekness the engrafted word. The engrafted. Not just any word. The undiluted word. Receive with meekness. The problem, many of us, the reason we are in disobedience is how we receive it. We receive with pride. We receive with nonchalant attitude. Is the reason you walk in disobedience. Not with meekness. The engrafted word. The word of God. Say the word of God. Can you give me this version in the message? I want this verse precisely in the message version. God help me with time. In the message or TLB, the Living Bible. TLB, the Living Bible. If I can have the Living Bible, I will appreciate. Okay. Don't fool yourself. Can you see? I wrote something down. I said, Holy Spirit, help me find it. About this, don't fool yourself. I put it this way. I said, disobedience against the word of God is the greatest level of stupidity, foolishness. You know the truth, you go this way. That's the way to define a foolish man. He said, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener. When you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and on the out on the other. Act on what you hear. Let me tap in and say, act on what you hear. You know, today church has known so much that when pastor is preaching, you know the next scripture he will preach. People have known so much. With the aid of social media, some of you listen to more than 5 pastors in 1 week. So when your own pastor starts preaching, I know that if the way pastor put it, he's supposed to say, let me look for one Greek word. Zoe, not Zoe, Zoe. It's Zoe. This same person go, finish Sunday service, still go to club. The person correcting pastor in church. That's the reason there's a lot of rebellion in church. People have known too much, but they are not obeying. It's rebellion. Everybody's just doing his own thing. They know so much. The word here, enter one ear. Go, give me verse 21, where I stopped the other time. 21. This message version, please. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let your gardener God landscape you with the word. Landscape to dress you, to keep you with the word. Making a salvation garden of your life. Let the word. Hear the word in the morning. Hear it in the afternoon. Hear it at night. Listen to the word. Can I tell you something? You cannot do enough in the will of God when you are not a good listener. The first step to obedience is ability to listen. Many people hear, they don't listen. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Listening means to pay keen attention. No word is moved. Listen, when I am under a serious teaching, I can make a book out of a preaching. Not one word. Listen, there are preaching I've heard 15 years ago. I can quote them verbatim now. Some of Abiyu's teaching. Oh my God. Yeah. Verbatim, like I will preach it like he preached it. It did not only enter my spirit, it entered my brain, entered my being. At a point, people told me, you look like Abiyu. I was eating him. Everything that I come, I'll sap everything. That's listening. Keep listening. Today, you are in church. You say, somebody's already Amala Junction. As you are preaching, he's not with you. I say, brethren, shout hallelujah. I come, brother, pray. Hey, I gladdo you. He's not with us. He's not with us. Give me verse 22, please. We are still going. He said, don't fool yourself thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. A man of God was saying one day, he said, God told him, he said, stop judging.
Go and follow all the ones you have jotted. You have jotted enough. Stop! Stop! Obey the one. Some of us need to take a break and go back to our jotters. Listen, your jotter is enough to straighten your life if you will follow what is inside. Some of us are good writers. If the preacher who preached the message sees your own jotting, he will be intimidated. Listen, go back, pack all those and go and start obeying, start applying one after the other and see how your life will be. Verse 23, please. I like the living. If you can help me get the living. You don't have the living, TLB. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror. When you are living home virtually, if not all, everybody here, I know women at least, were able to look at the mirror before leaving. But you will agree with me that because you have forgotten what you saw in the morning, why some of you are passing by, you still look at my car to check and recheck. You don't have TLB. Okay, give me verse 22. Give me verse 22. TLB means the living. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. So can we say there are many fools in church? There are many fools by the pulpits. There are many fools in the choir. Foolishness, not as insult, but as a description of status. Verse 23. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. Give me the amplified version. Give me the amplified. Amplified version. Help me, Holy Spirit. If you listen and don't obey, you are like glancing your head. But be doers of the word. Obey the message. What does a doer do? What does a doer do? So you can write the message, you can listen to the message. It is not a message in your life until you complete it. And the completion is obedience. It's not a message yet. And not merely listeners to it. Betray yourself into deception by reasoning contrary to the word. This was where I got the definition of disobedience. Deception by reasoning contrary to the word. Verse 23. For if anyone will listen to the word of God without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. God, verse 24. For he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off. He goes off and promptly means on the instant, spontaneously, forget what he looks like. We soon forget what we look like. Why? We only have the message in our jotter, not in our heart. So it's easy for you to go out there, mix up with the world, do what they do, come back to church, clean up, act like you obey. You know, today people act obedience. There's obedience, there's acting obedience. You get what I'm talking about now? There's obedience, real obedience. There's somebody acting to obey. Pretending, people can pretend obedience. Only God can detect such people. Even man cannot. It took Jesus discernment to detect such people in his generation. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And so, faith, obedience. Faith, obedience. I'd like you to give me Ephesians chapter 2 and from verse 3.
the greatest display of wisdom is acting in obedience to the word of God. The greatest display of wisdom. If you want to see a man who is wise, there's even between a smart person and somebody who is wise. The greatest display of wisdom is when a man chooses to obey. You may not have money, but you are wise. I choose to obey. I say, no, let me go the word way. You are wise. Obedience to the word of God guarantees a sure and a beautiful future. Write it down. Obedience to the word of God guarantees a sure, like you know where you are going. It is automated. 2 + 2, 4. When you obey the word of God, you just have this rest of mind. There is no fear. You are not afraid. You are not intimidated. You won't compare yourself with people. You are not intimidated by what anybody does. Because one thing obedience does, obedience gives you assurance and reassurance that I'm on the path. It doesn't matter what the circumstance looks like now, I'm on track. That's what obedience does. Obedience puts confidence in you. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. His rod. Rod means word. His rod and staff. His rod and staff. So that place, rod, puts his word. And so, obedience gives you confidence. You have courage in the face of crisis. When you know you are in obedience, I was listening. Me and my landlord were talking, and he said he has moved with some ministers of God. That the way they speak with audacity, that their level of audacity. He said he doesn't know what came upon them. He said maybe it's the anointing. I said, Baba, it's not the anointing. I said it's obedience. When a man obeys the word of God, there is witness in his spirit. He has this witness. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Only in obedience. The Holy Spirit does not bear witness to disobedience. Go and write that down. He bears witness only to the Bible calls him the Spirit of Truth. That bears witness to the truth. He does not bear witness to Akanti Ogun. You are a prophet. Ola Kanti Ogun. The Holy Spirit does not bear witness. He bears witness. This is the account. This is the account. Carry your Bible. Say, this is the account. This is my account. Yeah. I've seen 6 and 7 book of Moses. I say, this thing is useless. I've seen it before. You see deadness. That will say, letter killers. That's what you get from those books. You get death. Letter killers. It is the spirit that gives life. And what is the Bible say? John 6 verse 63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. So even it's like this. When an instruction comes from the word of God, there's a spirit in the word that enables you go into it and obey it. So you are not just obeying on your own strength, except you deny or reject the ability in the word. The word is self-contained. In it, it has the ability to make you walk in the truth that is therein. Why can they not walk in the law of Moses? There's no spirit in it that could make them walk in it. So just let us. Hallelujah. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath. Even give me verse 24 of James. James 1:24. Something came to my mind there. We didn't go to verse 24. James 1:24. Where we stopped the other time. James chapter 1. He beholded himself and going away straight away, forgetting what manner of man he was. Give me verse 25. Verse 25. But whosoever, can we all read this? Once to go. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man. So there's a blessing in this in obedience. You know, people walk in disobedience and they quote scriptures like, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in spiritual places, in heavenly places. I'm a child of God. The grace of God has covered for me. Look at what the Bible says. Hello. The book of James is not in the Old Testament. It's not in the Synoptics. It's among the epistles. The epistles are letter written to us. Old Testament are letter written for us. They are our own letter. They are letters we should follow. But be a doer of the work. This man, this is why, if you go to James chapter 2, James now began to explain. How can you say you have faith without work? You say, I have faith, but your life does not show obedience that you believe. You say, I believe. Jesus died, resurrected, I receive his righteousness, he received my sin. But your life does not look like what you profess. James went further, because of time I might not be able to show you. Next week we'll go into James chapter 2, you'll see. He said, even the devil believed. You have not seen that before. Let me show you. He said, even Satan. He said, what makes it different? Even Satan believed and trembled. That's how James put it. Satan believed God is real. He said, so what's the difference between you and him? He believed, you believe. He disobeyed, you are disobeying. He said, no, so you have not done anything different. Because even him believed and trembled. What makes you different is that you obey. You back what you are saying by action. You confess Jesus, you live Jesus. You confess Jesus, you live out. You express what you confess. Praise God. Interestingly, when you build your life on the teaching of Christ. Now, a man of God made an illustration I like to do, and I like to show you to make you understand clearly, and I'll speak from Matthew 7 from verse 24. Then we close because of our time. Brother Tokwe, please come out. You and him, come out. I saw this illustration, and you know, I saw a lot of wisdom. Stand here. In John chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says, the law was given by Moses. He said, but grace and truth. Say grace and truth. Talk to me. Say grace and truth. Came through who? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through. So let's say this is grace. Come this way. And this is truth. Grace. For ye were saved by faith through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is defines the work of Christ, defines what Christ did on the cross. Substitution, propitiation, redemption, sanctification. You don't need to do anything to qualify because he did it. And so grace is the person and the work of Christ. Grace and truth. Jesus did not just come as grace. He brought grace. So what is truth? Truth are the teachings of Jesus. And so when you hold on to grace and live truth, you are not a complete Christian. Today people fight the truth and say, grace, grace, hey, grace, Jesus, thy grace. Here is the teaching of Christ. You disobey and you are romancing the person of Christ. That's why the Bible says you are deceiving yourself. Because even him will not go against his word. And that's why the Bible says in John chapter 7, please appreciate them. John chapter 7, if you read from verse 24, he said, a man who hears these sayings of mine, Jesus speaking directly, that I'm the grace, I'm the person of grace. But if anyone hear this other side, these sayings of mine, and we not obey this saying, is like a man that built his house on a sand. So it's a matter of time. No matter what you build in the name of grace, you build a marriage grace, you disobey, you go into infidelity, you lie. No matter what, it's a matter of time. The Bible says, when storm of life come, what will happen to the house? You sing. You can build a career on lies. The grace of God. You sleep with lecturer, grace of God. You bribe people, grace of God. You be say, one day it will sink. It may look as though you are doing well. People see what you are doing. But when storm hit it, he said, but a man that hears this, my sayings, and obey them, is like a wise man. who built his house on the rock. And what is the rock? Who is the rock? Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1. He said, when they move in the wilderness, a mobile rock moved with them. He said, and that rock was Christ. So can we say that the truth of the word of God is the rock? Build your life. I bet you. Build your marriage. Build your career. Build ministry on him. You can never regret. It may look as though others are prospering, lying, doing it their own way. Please don't compare yourself with them. Don't do what? Don't compare yourself with them. Focus on God. And you will enjoy the benefit thereof. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you blessed this morning? I'd like you to talk to God. Bow down your head and say, God, help me. Help me to live in constant obedience to your word. It is not by might, or by power, or by my spirit, says the Lord. And the Bible says, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Let the word, let the spirit in your word be activated in my heart, in my life, that I will live in constant obedience to your word. Thank you, sweet Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Take all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. There's something I used to say anywhere I go to preach, except this church. Anywhere I go to preach, it's my culture, except my church. So I feel like saying it to you today. I love you all. God bless you.